Hello. And welcome to Movie Phone. My name's Ola. I'm an alcoholic. I'm very nervous. I'm probably not going to look at anybody and maybe get comfortable and eventually look at you people. My sobriety date is May 24th, 2015. My home group is the TGIS, Thank God I'm Sober, Women's Meeting. It's on Friday nights now at Club 3333 starting next Friday. We finally have a home. I have a sponsor. I also have an awesome sponsor, Jesse. And I sponsor women, and I am willing to be a sponsor. Sorry, I had to do that, because Jesse's awesome. So, totally was thinking about what to say today, all day, because I'm a very anxious person, and I also am a perfectionist. So I want it to be perfect. I even wrote like a little bullet point thingamajig for me to follow, which is in my big book at this current moment. But I kind of don't want to pull it out. So I'm just going to start what it was like. My parents are from Poland, and I was born in Florida, in Land O'Lakes, Florida, Pasco County. And it was weird growing up because although I was like born in the United States, I was kind of in this very odd Polish bubble. And so I just remember, and we hear this shared a lot when people speak, I just remember feeling different. Like I didn't feel fully American. I didn't feel fully Polish. I didn't really engage with English speakers until like elementary school, middle school. And growing up, I don't know if anyone here has ever been to a Polish party, but that is a style of drinking that is very like Irish, I guess, would drink. So like how I understood how you're supposed to drink alcohol is a bunch of people standing around with like a bajillion bottles of vodka and just shot right after the other. And that's how Polish people party hard. That's just what I grew up with. And that's how I thought drinking was. And I was a very angry child. I was a very fear-ridden child who would act out in anger at myself from a very young age. I didn't have my first drink until I was 13, but like my first alcoholic behavior was cutting. I started cutting when I was 11. Because I just like stumbled upon, ooh, look, if I take a razor and I cut myself, I feel a feeling of release. And then I discovered alcohol at the age of 13, and that was my first drink, and that was also my first drug, or first drunk. I don't really remember that much. I remember like talking to somebody about nuclear bombs and like running around with a dog in rain. I don't know. But that was like, that was amazing. You know, I felt I finally had something to help me feel release even more than cutting wood. And I would spend the rest of my life until I got sober chasing that feeling. Whether it was alcohol, whether it was drugs, whether it was acting out sexually, whether it was cutting myself, you name it. If it made me feel like I didn't need to be in my fucking head and listen to my thoughts, I was going to fucking do it. So I finished high school. I was very studious in high school. So like despite that happening at 13, like I made it through with an eating disorder, of course, in high school. And I got to college. And it was just like balls to the walls in college. The excuse I gave myself was, well, I didn't have the ability to party like high schoolers do, so I get that moment now in college. And I get my first drug possession charge at the age of 19, and not really taking it seriously. I went to like those head shops to get like the pills and the drinks to cover my pee. And it didn't work, and they were like, if you fail one more drug test, you're going to jail. And that at least scared me enough in that moment to just pass my next drug test to get off my, you know, probation conditions. And I went to school for psychology. I'm gonna mention what I went to school for because it's important to why it took me a while to acknowledge that I'm an alcoholic. I went to school, I got my bachelor's degree in psychology because I thought if I could learn psychology, I could learn what was wrong with me and why I felt so different and why I felt so fucked up. And I graduate, slowly getting progressively worse in partying and using new substances, a lot of substances. And then I graduate and I don't know what to do. So then I decided to get into grad school, but this time for mental health counseling, to become a therapist, so I could learn how to fix myself. I learned how I was fucked up, and now I'm gonna learn how to fix myself. The key word being myself, right? So like in the program, we learn like self-knowledge avails us nothing. And it took me a very long time to get to that point to realize like, I may have all of the fucking knowledge in my head. I don't know fucking shit about staying sober by myself. Took me until getting into this program to realize that. And I need a drink of water, so I'm gonna step away for a moment because I really bad dry mouth. And I just realized I forgot to mention something that happened when I was 21. I'm gonna backtrack for a second. When I was 20, like 2 weeks before my 21st birthday, I get to drink legally now. I shattered my kneecap pretty hardcore. I had open knee surgery and it took me a year to walk. And I used to not mention this in my story, but it was like brought to my attention that we have legal consequences, we have spiritual, we have emotional consequences, we have physical consequences, you know? And the knee was just years of malnourishment from having knee disorder and just drug and alcohol use. And so like I purposely bring this up because when it comes to speaking, like I am right now, I really need to remember what it's like. Like I've only been sober for 6 years. I forgot what it was like a year in, like let's be honest here. But I need to remember it because if I forget it all and then think it was all sunshines and fucking unicorns, I'm gonna start drinking again, no problem. So that happened when I was 21 and I was totally that person who had the full like leg brace with crutches going to the bar. And people took pity on me and they bought drinks for me. It was a fabulous time. So I just want to mention that really quickly. So now I'm in grad school and it's getting worse. I'm taking substance abuse counseling while doing cocaine in the bathroom. Actually, in that class was also my first introduction to AA. One of our assignments was to go to any 12-step meeting, sit for it, and write a paper about our experience. And I went to the meeting room in Land O'Lakes, and I remember coming up and being like, is this the AA meeting? Why, do you need your paper signed? And I was like, this guy's a dick. I really don't like AA. But I went for my class. I remember relating to what people shared in there. And I went home and I wrote this like big old paper. I was super happy about it and promptly forgot all about it. And continued doing my drinking and my using and all my crazy behaviors. And then I got a DUI and a felony possession. And with that one was my second introduction to AA, because I had to do like the court mandated, go to 30 weeks of AA meetings, get your paper signed. I went back to the meeting room to get my paper signed, because I couldn't leave Pasco County. So there's like two meeting places you can really go to in Pasco, at least in Land O'Lakes at that time. And this time, like, I'm sitting in the meetings, I'm seeing, you know, this stuff. I'm like, this place is really good for people who have issues with drugs or alcohol. I can see the therapeutic relief in this. I can see how this is like valuable. This is good stuff. But of course, I'm not like a member of you guys. I'm like, I'm special. I'm a unique snowflake over here. And I like didn't even think about like sponsor or like working steps. I just went, got my paper signed. And then it all ended. I got, you know, released from my conditions, and it was just back to the races again. Thinking there's no fucking issue with how I'm drinking and using. Until the year before I got sober. So there's a meeting I go to on Tuesdays. Tuesday Big Book Meeting, I think it's called. And we're currently in chapter 3 of More About Alcoholism. And, you know, there's like 4 stories in there. And one of the stories is about the guy who just like is dry sober for 25 years, retires, and then he thinks, I can drink again. Then he like dies within 4 years of drinking. And like, when I first got sober, I didn't really think about that story. But, you know, like this book, as your perspective shifts and you start growing more emotionally and spiritually, it's like the book, parts of it suddenly make sense, whereas before it was just like hieroglyphics or something. And like that story, I now think about in regards to like my last year of active use. I went to Italy. I went to Italy for 6 weeks to study abroad. And that's not a good place for like a active alcoholic who doesn't know she's an alcoholic to go to. Got no one fucking supervising me. I could do whatever the hell I want. And I did whatever the hell I wanted, which resulted in lots of wine drinking and just blackouts and walking around in Florence. Don't really remember where, just like coming to randomly. But the last night I was there, 3 hours before my flight was going back to Tampa, I woke up to someone trying to take my clothes off and someone wanting to rape me. And it was at that time terrifying. Terrifying enough that on the plane ride home, I decided I'm not gonna drink anymore. And I did dry sober. I didn't try AA. I didn't do anything like that. I decided exercise is gonna be my fucking solution. I'm gonna run a marathon. Yeah. I did that for 6 months. I ran that marathon. And then I went to Germany. For 2 weeks. In December of 2014. And the whole plane ride back across the Atlantic Ocean, I'm like, Ola, don't drink. Don't drink when you get there. Just don't do it. And of course, what do I do within the first week? First hour of landing, I'm drinking at the airport. So this disease, it's a disease. It's progressive. And in Germany, I blacked out several times, fell down an escalator, don't remember any of this, broke my cheekbone, flew home with a black eye that I like lied about to my family. I slipped on some snow and ice. Like, no, I like literally don't remember. I just woke up to blood and my face hurting. But even that, like, I tell that part of my story, but back then, of course, I didn't know. Like, this is a progressive disease. It's just gonna get fucking worse and worse and worse. And 4 months after that, it's getting progressively worse. And then I actually did get raped. And that is what happened. And that is why, that is what prompted me to actually try AA for the first time. I had knowledge of it. I knew this is gonna be really dorky for a moment, but bear with me. In my substance abuse counseling class, we learned about the various ways to treat alcoholism and drug addiction. And out of all the statistics, AA is statistically the most successful at fucking 15%. 15% successful, which is a low number. But it's most successful. So I'm like, I'm gonna go with what works based on numbers from like abstract researchers. And how I got here is a whole other story. So let me take a drink of water. So I got dry mouth again. I used to get embarrassed telling this part of my story, but it's just my fucking story. Like, this is weird. It's not weird. How I got here is I was engaging in alcoholic behavior on Tinder, and I stumbled upon a profile of a guy. And this guy says in his profile, I am 5 years sober, I am an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I am looking for a relationship. And I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? I just remember being baffled. I was like, I thought this was like a hookup thing, and you want to, I just need to talk to you. So I was drawn to him. We started dating. I was not sober yet. And so he was the one I reached out to for help on that night, the day after I hit my bottom. And he took me to he did not take me to a meeting. At that time, so this is May 2015, the Florida Conference for Young People and Alcoholics Anonymous was hosted in Tampa that year, and it was 2 weeks before it was going to be in the Grand Hyatt Hotel over there. And so he took me to like a bid service unity thingamajig, not a meeting, and that is exactly what I needed. And I'm going to talk about like God eventually, I hope, and not run out of time. Like God, now that I have like a concept of what a higher power is, I knew that's what I needed in that moment. Like, I can hide at a meeting. I can say all of the most wonderful things in the world. I can make you think I'm totally fine. I have education to back me up with fancy language and fancy theories. But stick me in a room, someone's apartment, with like sober women and Alcoholics Anonymous, and I don't know how to fucking hide from you. You just look at me and you see it in me. God. So it was just like nerve-wracking. I was out of my element. I couldn't manipulate. I couldn't do anything. So I just sat there and like folded pamphlets and like shoved them in lanyards to just do something. So we were there for like 2 hours. And the result of that is I still know some of those women today. One of those women became my sponsor. The other woman became my current sponsor. I got a fuck ton of phone numbers. And I went to the conference, 2 weeks sober. And if no one here has ever been to a AA conference, please do it, because it is an experience that I can't even really describe, other than I have never felt more unity in my life. Like, I've gone to those hippie festivals, tripped on a bunch of fucking psychedelics, and been like, I feel God and love. No. Like, it's nothing like what I felt at that conference. And so, like that being my first real intro to AA. Like, not the court-ordered bullshit, not the goddamn school assignment that I did, but, like, the introduction to what people who are sober look like in AA is exactly what I needed. And then the conference, and being like, oh, you can have fun in AA. This is dope. And so that's what it was like. So what it's like now, Jesus. I always like think about this, like what it's like now, because like everything else is like rehearsed, it's my past, right? And now I have to like think about my last 6 years of being sober and wondering, how the fuck am I still sober? Question mark. I did the steps, took me 18 months. I started sponsoring women. I love sponsoring women. It's definitely a way to get out of my head and shift my perspective, because that's what I always need to do. And I joined the Tampa bid for Ficky Pond. I'm actually currently again back on the bid. I am the co-chair. And it's a level of service that I just fucking love, like deep in my soul. I'm gonna talk about higher power stuff now. So I came in here being a militant atheist, and it describes it in the book, like militant atheist. And then like step two of the 12 and 12, it talks about like the intellectual, right? So that was me. I could write you a paper about how your need to have something make you feel like you have purpose in this life is stupid. And that's how I studied like religion. You know, I truly did not think anything existed out there. And in my first year of sobriety, when we started on step two, My sponsor at that time made me do an assignment where it was like, write down all of the coincidences in your life when you like, you should have gotten a DUI or you should have died or this should have happened to you, but it didn't. And I'm like, okay, this is stupid. Let me write this list. And I wrote this list. And she was like, that's how your higher power is working in your life. Those aren't coincidences. Like, that's God intervening on your behalf. And for whatever reason, that like opened the door. That was my key of willingness to like consider maybe there's something out there. Fast forward to today, I know I have a higher power. I have a relationship with my higher power. Is it a good relationship? Nah. Do I work on it every day? Nah. I'm a very selfish and self-centered alcoholic because I still have that whole like, I'm so smart. Look at all this wonderful knowledge I have about blah, 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 blah. And I still rely on my self-knowledge to get me through life. But at this point, like, which is just baffles my mind, being 6 years sober, I now have like evidence. Like, if I want to be a scientist about this, right, I'm going to disprove my own bullshit. I have evidence in sobriety of what happens when I don't do this program. I'm suicidal at 3 years sober. During COVID, I was very happy isolating at home with my cat and watching all 15 seasons of Criminal Minds and NCIS. Too much information, I don't fucking care. I got ringworm on my arm, okay? I don't know where the fuck it came from. Probably from not showering. I became very unmanageable, you know? Just very unmanageable. So I get like ringworm on my arm. And I think the super smart, sane thing to do is to take pure Clorox bleach and hold it against my arm for hours. I have like a first degree chemical burn scar now on my arm. This is what Ola does when she doesn't do this fucking program, you know? I'm just insane. I think I'm super smart, I'm super nuts. So, like, that's evidence, right? And thank you. So, like, step two and step three for me are very intertwined. I need to know, like, I just have to drill it into my head that when I need one, turn everything over to my higher power, including my fears, which I'm fucking riddled with fear. I'm just like, what did I say? I'm a self-eating blob monster. I just like consume on fear constantly. And I don't turn it over because I'm very comfortable in my misery and my self-hatred. It's what I've known my entire life. I don't know what like serene, peaceful, happy Ola looks like. I've never done it. And it's terrifying to me. But I just fucking need to do it. And so what does this program teach me to do? It teaches me to reach out to others, to ask for their help, and to not pay attention to what goes on in this brain. And when I think I have a smart idea, to actually double check it with my sponsor and then be told, yeah, that's fucking dumb. And I'm like, okay, got it. Thank you for busting the balls on my ego, because I need that. The whole like egomaniac with an inferiority complex, 100%. Like I say that I hate myself. I say that I still don't feel comfortable in my own skin, that I want to rip it off and just like anamorph into something and run away. But I still think like I'm the shit. What is that about? Like, I don't know. It's like this is an alcoholic quirk of the brain. I don't know. I don't even know where I was going with that. More water. Hold on. So I'm like, yeah, that's where I'm at right now in my sobriety is I'm learning that I toe the line just enough to stay sober, but I don't do work. I don't work on my relationship with my higher power. I don't work on emotional growth. I don't work on spiritual growth. And the result of that is I still feel miserable. If I do the work, I may know what it feels like to not be miserable. And that's it. You know, just do the fucking work. Like they say in the rooms, just do the work. So I just got to do the work. I did want to mention like gifts of sobriety that I have gotten. Is, well, you know, knowing that I still have a lot of fucking work to do, but it is the feeling of not being alone. As much as I like to say, you don't understand me, you're too different, you'll never understand me, everyone in this room can understand me and I can understand you. And there is so much support in these rooms. What I tell new girls now is, I definitely did not do the whole like get network and collect phone calls, and I'm suffering from it today because I don't really have a lot of women in my life, and like I have to go out of my comfort zone to find these women and build relationships with them, and I feel dumb because it's like I'm 6 years sober and I don't have any friends, whatever. I just gotta do the work. So I didn't do that when I was like early in sobriety. I'm paying the consequences for it, the spiritual consequences for it. So that's the gift, is the people in this, people in AA. God, I love this program. I'm not gonna cry, I swear. So I'm gonna distract myself with another topic, which is that guy on Tinder, the one I was dating. I married him. Like, I learned how to have a like 6 year long relationship in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous with another sober alcoholic. We've been married for 7 months now. And that just blows my mind. I never thought I would get married. Never thought I would buy a house. What is that? Never knew. Never thought I would have a pretty decent job, like stable job security, woohoo. And I have to remind myself on a daily basis to be grateful for those things. Because if I pay attention to the crazy bat lady that lives in my brain, it tells me that you want to go run away and live on a ranch in Argentina or Antarctica. Just run away from everybody. Life will be great. I just need to like leave everything behind. And that will fix me. It won't fix me. Thank you. It won't fix me. So I really don't have anything else, even though I had 5 minutes left. But my brain has officially stopped talking to myself. So I'm going to stop now. Thank you.